really the collection of two major components, prayer, recorded prayers, and praise. There are Hebrew words, obviously, that translate those, tefillin for the prayers and teheloth for the praises. And I want you to notice Psalm 145 this evening and how this begins. And really, one of the great thrusts of the Psalms is this, is that prayer and praise are the solution for anything in life. Prayer and praise, prayer, where could you go but to the Lord, and praise to the Lord for all that He has done. They're a solution for everything in life. In Psalm 145, this caught my attention as I was reading this recently. Notice it's a unique title. No other of the 150 Psalms have this title, Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. Now, the only other title that comes close to this, or psalm that comes close to this title, is Psalm 100, and you can notice that is titled A Psalm of Praise, almost the idea of it's a generic, it's there for anybody to use, but this one has David's name on it as a possession, David's Psalm of Praise. Now, I'm glad he wrote it down, because I like to use it, and I'm sure he doesn't mind either. And when we get to the Millennial Kingdom, I'll ask him if he did, and I'm sure that he will be fine with it. But David's Psalm of Praise, it reminded me of a habit that my dad has had for years, and I try to use this some as well. Matter of fact, right now I have a hymn book on my desk and another one on my shelf. And when times of discouragement come, or struggle or darkness or trial come, my dad many years ago would begin this habit. He'd just get a hymn book. He'd either go to his study or he'd go out. Now they have a lake with a dock on it. He'd just go sit on the dock, or he'd go sit in the middle of the bed sometimes if the house was quiet. And he'd start at the very first hymn in the hymn book. He'd just start singing. And then he'd get to the next one that he knew, and he'd sing. He'd get to the next one that he knew, and he'd sing that, sing a couple verses of that. And he said it was amazing. By about the time he got five or six hymns in, as the old song said, drive those clouds away, drive those clouds away. Sing and pray every day and drive those clouds of discouragement away. The prophet of praise. And here's the thing I want us to get tonight, the time we have together this evening, and that is this. The habit of praise will benefit you in every area of life. The habit of praise will benefit you, benefit me, in every area of life. Notice how David begins Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. We've enjoyed having Emmeline and baby Carolyn in for about a week now, visiting with us. And this is the very first verse. Psalm 145:9 is the very first verse that we ever taught Emmeline as a little toddler girl. And I can still close my eyes and see her standing across the living room in her little chubby chipmunk cheeks and her little eyes. And she's saying this little mousy, squeaky voice, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse number 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Notice all of the alls in the next several verses. That'll become key for us here in a few moments. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy, it's the idea of faithful, in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You can search that entire psalm and not find one negative note. Praise. The habit of praise will benefit you and me in every area of life. That's why I would title this message tonight, The Prophet of Praise. It's entitled David's Psalm of Praise. What else is interesting to me, and I'm just going to briefly move through these, there are a ton of words in this psalm that are synonymous with the idea of praise, but each one has a unique facet when it comes to praising. And so I want to paint a picture in your mind. Let me just briefly move through these. But first, let me say this. Praise is a duty. It's commanded to us as believers. Therefore, it's a duty. But it's always better to do a duty when you understand the purpose of it and you find joy in it. Okay? The idea of the word praise that is used there in the title, David's Psalm of Praise, speaks of adoration, which is a duty, but it's because it is due the Lord. He is worthy of our praise at all times. So praise is a duty in which we should and can find great delight. I would say this as well. Did you notice how many times David said, I will? Notice verse number one. I will extol thee. I will bless thy name. Verse two. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name. Verse number five. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. Verse number six, the second line there of the verse. And I will declare thy greatness. And even at the end, my mouth, verse 21, my mouth shall speak. So praise is a duty in which we should and can find delight. And it's a decision to declare the attributes, the character of our God, because it has a profound effect on others. But I would say this too. It's a discipline which, when I determine to praise the Lord, it will deepen my knowledge of Him and my love for Him. Now, I want to go back and look at several of these words. Notice the word extol. And let's just paint a picture in your mind. When David says, I will extol, the word extol means in verse number one, to lift up on high the name of the Lord, to hold it up for everybody to see. Okay? Then the word bless, and the second word, and I will bless, speaks of kneeling before. You know, if you kneel before someone and you do it in a group of people, you're communicating some kind of a message. If a young man kneels before a young woman that is his sweetheart, what is the first thought that comes to your mind if you see that happen out in public? A young man kneels before a young woman. Somebody thinks he's about to propose to her. He's about to commit his life to her. He's about to declare his love for her. If you see a person kneel before a dignitary or a king, what are you understanding? You're understanding that there's homage or adoration or loyalty that is being committed. The word bless that is used many times in the Old Testament, several times in this passage of Scripture, speaks of the action of kneeling. So David said, I'll lift the Lord up and I will bow before Him. I will kneel before Him. Our lives should be conspicuous examples of not just physical knees, so to speak, but the knees of our heart being bowed before the King of Kings and people knowing where our loyalty lies. Verse number two, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. The word praise that David uses here is a different word than the one he used in the title. And it speaks to shine a bright light on or to rave about. You know, I thought about this. There's a danger of humans putting themselves in the spotlight, because eventually an imperfection is going to shine. The kids several months ago gave me that big old bright LED spotlight. And man, I love that thing out in the dark after, you know, go out in the dark and if there's a bear in the woods or something like that, I can see anything out there. But you know, if you shine a light on me or we shine a light on you and you keep that light there and somebody starts looking closely, eventually the imperfections are going to become obvious. Are you with me? But why is it so important for us to just keep the light shining on the Lord? To keep raving about the Lord, because you can keep shining the light on the Lord and you'll never find any imperfections. Okay. And so David said, I'll lift him up. I'm going to kneel before him. I'm going to shine the light on him. I'm going to rave over him. Verse number two. Drop down to verse number four. One generation shall praise thy works to another. This is a totally different word again, even though it's our English word praise. It has this facet of meaning. It's the idea. This is something else. It's the idea of soothing someone. In other words, by what I tell you, I soothe you. Look at verse number 4. David said, one generation shall praise thy works to another. So here's the picture. The picture is one generation, what they're saying about the Lord to the next generation soothes that next generation. It brings a calm to them. I've told you several times about this issue we're having with our well. And, you know, it was a great peace of mind to me to have someone in this church who had used the well guy that I'm using tell me he's the best that there is. When I told him the name of the well guy that we were going to be using to come repair our well, he said, hey, listen, he's the best that there is. If you can get him to come, you're going to be in good shape. So when he told me that, don't you think that soothed me? But what David is saying here, when one generation talks about the goodness of God, when one generation lifts up the Lord and with their lives they kneel before the Lord and they shine the light on the Lord, that soothes the succeeding generations. That calms them because that lets them know, hey, this previous generation, they trusted in the Lord and God took care of them. He can take care of us too. See, aren't these different aspects of praising the Lord? I mean, all the things that are accomplished when we develop the habit of praise in our lives. Verse number 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty works. The idea of the word declare there is to make conspicuous. Listen, let's not be silenced as children of God. Let's declare who he is. And so David said another aspect of praise is declaring the mighty acts of the Lord. Verse number 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. The word speak that David uses in verse number 5 has with it the idea of talk to yourself about it. I've said this before. We need to stop listening to ourselves and start talking to ourselves. In and of ourselves, our own flesh, our own nature, we whisper negative. Listening to yourself. But David, you remember what David did in Psalm 45? He said to his soul, why art thou cast down? He started talking to himself and it turned things around. And so David here speaks of talking to himself instead of listening to himself. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. A book that's been a blessing to our family is a book written by a lady named Marty Collier. And the title of the book is, What Do I Know About My God? What do I know about my God? And boy, when some kind of burden comes along, some kind of doubt comes along, just start talking to yourself about what you know about God. Because he's the one to whom we're praying anyway. He's the one who has the ability to take care of whatever that burden is. Verse number 6. Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. The word declare that David uses in verse number 6 carries with it the idea of actually writing it down. And by the way, that's what this psalm and 71 others of the psalms are. They're David writing down his prayers, writing down his praise to be a help to us. Verse number 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Abundantly utters the idea of out of the overflow of his recognition of what God has done and what he has communicated to others and how they've learned of God, out of the overflow of that, men will praise the Lord. And they shall sing of thy righteousness. Give a ringing cry. Let me tell you something. Singing is a part of praise. It's a facet of praise. And I think a spirit-filled Christian is going to be a singing Christian. You read Ephesians 5 and you read Colossians and there's a close connection between spirit filling and singing. You might say, Pastor, have you been up close to me when I was singing in church? Sing it out, brother. Sing it out, sister. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. It's a joyful noise to the Lord. The Bible doesn't say sing if you can carry a tune. It says sing out of the joy of your heart. Sing out of the work that God has done in your life. Sing. There is a note somewhere on that piano that you'll hit in the course of a song. I promise you. Okay. Sing. It's an expression. And David says others that are influenced by him will sing of his righteousness, the Lord's righteousness. Back down in verse number 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. That speaks of reflecting the works of the Lord in our praise. And all the saints shall bless thee. Again, that word that speaks of the idea of kneeling before him. And there are several others. But isn't it amazing, the word extol, the word bless, the word praise, praised, praised. The word declare in verse 4, the word speak in verse number 5, the word declare in verse 6, and then abundantly uttering the memory of thy great goodness in verse 7, singing of his righteousness, praising and blessing. You know what David is saying? And notice in verse number 1, every day, verse number 2, pardon me, every day will I bless thee. Every day will I bless thee. And so these words that speak of the many different facets of praise. I just want to mention this, and I'm kind of abbreviating things for the sake of time tonight. I want you to consider several benefits that come from developing a habit of praise in your life. Lifting the Lord up, kneeling before Him, singing about Him, talking to yourself about Him, declaring conspicuously what He has done so that others know. Okay. What are some benefits that come? It was fascinating to me to think about as I read through the Psalms that several of the preceding Psalms right before 145, David talks about his troubles. He even talks about pouring out his complaint before the Lord in Psalm 142. In Psalm 142, he also talks about being overwhelmed. In Psalm 143, he talks about being overwhelmed again. He talks about fears that he has. But what's interesting to me, Psalm 145 is completely praise. And here's a benefit that comes with developing a habit of praise in your life. And that is this, is that when you develop a habit of praise, when you say with David, every day will I bless thee, what happens? One of the tremendous benefits that comes from that is that it makes complaint, fears, and being overwhelmed flee away very quickly. Did you get that? Okay. I think about the story I read of a pastor recently who was in the South, and his kids loved to go to the stockyard and look at all the different cows and all the different bulls and the animals. And he said, I only went because my kids liked it. He said, I didn't really like going when they were younger. And he said, we'd go, and he said, that place just stunk. That stockyard, the smell of the cattle and of the refuse and everything else. And he said, we went, he said, and I finally told the kids after a little bit, he said, kids, we got to go. It just stinks here. It just stinks so bad. And so finally they're, Daddy, can we stay a little longer? We just stay a little longer. It's kids, it stinks so bad here. I can hardly stand it. He said, so finally I said, we're leaving. We went and got in the car. He said, we got in the car. And even as we drove away, I'm like, because man, it still stinks, smells like that stockyard. He said, we got home, got out of the car, got in the house. He's like, man, it's still just the smell is everywhere. He said, I thought I could get away from it by coming to the house and leaving the stockyard. He said, it just stunk so bad, even at the house. He said, then I realized I had stepped in a cow pie. And he said, I was carrying the smell with me. Reminds me of the guy that I heard about, had Lindberger cheese rubbed in his mustache. Everywhere he went, he goes, man, the whole world stinks. Didn't realize it was the Lindberger cheese in his own mustache. You know, if we're not careful, we can be like that. The reason we think everything stinks and we're constantly criticizing and complaining is because we're carrying the stink in our hearts. And one of the ways to deal with that is just determine to develop a habit of praise. Lift God up, bow before Him, shine the light on Him, rave about Him, declare conspicuously who He is, sing about Him, and seek to influence everybody else around you with Him, who He is. And so, praise, one of the benefits that comes when we develop a habit of it, is that it makes complaint, fear, being overwhelmed, critical spirit flee away quickly. But number two, another benefit, when we develop a habit of praise in our lives, another benefit that comes is it motivates others around us like few other things will. When you become a person of praise, you develop a habit of praise, it multiplies in a profound way the impact that you can have for the Lord on other people. There are all kinds of ways. There's this phenomenon in social media today called influencers. You heard the term before? If you haven't, don't worry. You're not missing anything. Okay. but influencers, people who literally give their whole life to influencing other people. Let me tell you, the greatest influence that you can have is to develop a habit of praise, let that characterize your life, and then that will just overflow out of your life and touch everybody else around you. Okay. The habit of praise. I notice this about David. Notice verse number 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Remember, it's that idea of soothing. You know, I think sometimes kids develop critical spirits because they inherited it from their parents. Complaining, griping, negative view of life. They develop it from their parents. When I hear my kids, now they very rarely do this. But you know what I've noticed? I have noticed several times in the history of our family, there's a little bit of a critical air that begins, or negative air that begins to develop in the home. Seems like everybody's just having a negative day or negative week. Do you know what I found? This is humbling to admit. You know what I found? Go look in the mirror, Nathan. Everything flows from the top down. Okay. But David here says, listen, let's start with praise up here, and that will affect others. And he says in verse number 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another. What a soothing effect it has. Notice verse number 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. It's the idea of that which causes men to fear the Lord, those terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. There's a pattern here. David says in the first part of verse number 5, I will speak, and then verse number 6, and men shall speak. Do you see the pattern in Scripture? Verse number 6, the last half, I will declare thy greatness, they shall abundantly utter and sing. What's David saying? David's saying this, when I praise like I should, it's going to affect other people. Other people are going to be moved to praise. I'm reminded of this story that I told several weeks ago. I read it in a book, in a different application, but of the little boy whose teacher in class told all of him and his classmates, he said, draw a picture of your hero. And when everybody else was done, the time limit was up, this one little boy was still working furiously on a piece of paper, and the teacher asked him, are you finished yet? He said, no, I'm not finished yet. And, well, who's your hero? And he said, God is. And she said, well, nobody knows what God looks like. And he said, well, when I get done, they will. Okay. It's essentially what David is saying here. David is saying, I'm making it my life's goal. And what a worthy goal it is. To develop such a habit of praise that when people get done hearing me praise the Lord, they start praising Him too. David was a king, and he here speaks of great groups of people, nations being impacted to praise the Lord. What a worthy goal. And it's almost as if David's saying, when I'm done, people will be praising God. Sometimes we want to affect people with our criticism, our negative perspective. Even if we don't want to, it happens. It's nature. But let's develop a habit of praise and determine, you know, I'm going to affect people by my praise for the Lord. Okay. Thirdly, and I'll just mention this in passing, another benefit that comes when we develop a habit of praise is that it moves me personally to deeper trust in the Lord. It moves me personally. There's some great theology in Psalm 145. I mean, how can you not get through verses 8 and 9 without just having your heart warmed? The Lord is gracious, gives us that which we don't deserve, and full of compassion. This speaks of that tender pity. It's the idea, again, of a father or grandfather or mother dandling a little one on their knee. And slow to anger. Remember, I illustrated that several weeks ago in Psalm 103. It's the idea of long-winged or large-winged in order to just take it and take it. Slow to anger, the flared nostril kind of anger. God doesn't get angry easily. And He's of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. And this tremendous theology that is developed. And I want you to notice this. When I develop a habit of praise, it moves me to deeper trust in life, a more complete trust. This gripped me when I noticed this. I want to give you just a few things here in close, and we'll be finished. Notice verse number 2. David said, I'll bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. David determined, I'm going to praise God every day. Amen. Every day. No exceptions. It's going to become a disciplined decision in my life, a deliberate action of my life. I am going to praise the Lord every day. It's going to characterize his life as a whole. And then did you notice, and I emphasized them when we read Psalm 145 at the beginning of our time together, the completeness with which David understood God's care and God's work in his life and the lives of others. In other words, get this connection. He determined, I'm going to praise God every day, and therefore it made it easy for him to say what he did in verse number 9. The Lord is good to how many? And his tender mercies are over all his works. His dominion endureth, verse number 13, throughout how many generations? All generations. The Lord upholdeth how many that fall? All. And raiseth up all. The eyes of all wait upon thee. He satisfies, verse number 16, the desire of every living thing. He is righteous in how many of his ways? All his ways, holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. The Lord preserveth, verse 20, all them that love him, and all the wicked will he would destroy. There's a connection here, and this got me, and that is this. David's commitment to praise the Lord every day resulted in a more complete trust in the Lord's work in every area of life. The negative, we could say, is this. If I'm not praising the Lord like I should and like I can, there are going to be holes in my trust where I'm going to question God in different instances. But when I'm praising like I am, my trust in Him, or like I should be, my trust in Him is going to be deepened so that I'll have a more complete, a more comprehensive, and a more concrete trust in Him in every area of life. Why? Because praising Him is a glad and happy way of developing my theology. Most people hear the word theology and they're like, dry, blah. But you know, all of you are theologians. I know it's Wednesday night, folks, but that's a good thing. Okay, all of you are theologians. Basically, theology, your theology is what you believe about God. It's what you believe about God. And as I'm praising Him for the details and all these different aspects, it's going to deepen my trust in Him, deepen my theology, so that my trust in Him is more complete, so that my trust in Him is more concrete and more conspicuous. Boy, there's much more I could say. I heard about a man, Chapman, today, who said this. Walked into a room and a friend of his looked at him, and the man was just beaming. Chapman was beaming. And his friend said to him, so how goes it today? And he says, I'm just burdened. The friend looked at him and said, burdened? You don't look like, what are you burdened about? He said, you got a big old smile on your face. You don't look like you're burdened. He says, oh, I am burdened today. And I'm happy to be burdened. And the friend was just puzzled. He goes, what do you mean? And the man quoted to him, Chapman said, Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord that daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. He said, I'm burdened. He says, I'm just so burdened with the good things and the benefits of God in my life. I can't help it, but I just like this kind of being burdened. Amen. Okay. What an impact a person like that has. David closes in verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. All of us have one. Think about the book of Romans, where the scripture says there, we offer the sacrifice of our lips, the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. All of us have a mouth. All of us can praise the Lord. W. Sangster was a bishop preacher, or a British preacher, pardon me, who towards the end of his ministry lost his voice to muscular atrophy. Now, unless you're a preacher, you really can't understand the agony of losing your voice. That's the tool that God has given to a preacher more conspicuously than any other to fulfill his gifting. So you can imagine how with W.A. Sangster, a man who wrote on homiletics and was quite a preacher, as I understand it, comes to the last several years of his ministry and his voice goes away. But he determined he was not going to be discouraged by that, and so he began to write instead of speak. Just a few weeks before he died, he was writing a letter to his daughter on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And he said this as he wrote to her. He said, "It's troubling to want to shout at the top of my lungs, 'He is risen,' but not have the voice to do it." But then he said this, but he said, "Worse than that, far more troubling than that, would be to have the voice to do it, but not." To have the voice to do it, but not. The habit of praise will help you and me in every area of life. Let's develop it as God's people. Father, thank you for your word tonight, how you've challenged me, and I pray that I've been able to communicate to some degree the importance of this in the lives of those who are gathered here this evening. And Lord, that we would be characteristically, conspicuously marked as a people of praise, understanding the power of praise to overcome all of the negative issues of life, to be a people of praise, to overcome criticism and complaint and fear, and those times of being overwhelmed. So we may we develop this habit of praise so that we can experience the benefits of praise in every area of life. And I pray this in Christ's name, for His glory. Amen.